song. Sharp Dressed Man. Lawyer to the stars.
Thank you, Ro.
Thank you, Mike Monaco.
How are you, Kevin?
Mike, it is really an honor to have you in studio, even though I've had you in studio 500,000 times.
Exactly.
You've even co-hosted this show. I've been explaining to everybody. I cannot tell you how many people I heard from years and years and years ago. Hey, is that Mike Monaco who's in back of Michael Cohen?
Well, we have a show group text, and half of our texts over the past few days have been about Mike Monaco being on TV and the infamous purple scarf.
It is amazing how many people were watching and what an effect I think Wednesday had.
To the degree you can talk about this, it does seem to have changed the narrative. And even as much as there was a story that came out from a Korea expert saying that that testimony may have actually impacted, sped along the end of that negotiation, not on Donald Trump's part, but on Kim Jong-un's part.
Really?
Yeah. That Kim Jong-un, they watch this very carefully there. They watch, and they want to know who they're dealing with. And what the, because, you know, obviously, the United States is different because every 4 or 8 years, you get a new leader and maybe a change in direction. When clearly we did have a big change in direction, right? The last couple of elections. So there is some concern that, this is crazy that some potentate dictator is concerned about it. I mean, they should be worried about the United States, not concerned for us. But they're not concerned if he's going to be here long enough to be able to cut a deal.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So, what is your what do you think the biggest impact that your client had on all of this?
Well, I assume it would be regarding Trump's involvement in the campaign finance violations that my client pled guilty to. We produced two checks, one written by the president in August of 2017.
Mm-hmm. After he was president.
After he was president of the United States. Mm-hmm. And one written in March of 2017 written on the revocable trust account, which presumably should not be used to benefit the president, since it's a revocable trust that he supposedly created so that his company could continue running while he's president, and the people in charge of the company, in this case it was Don Jr. and Alan Weisselberg, signed the check to him, $35,000 check to him, which was the monthly amount that Weisselberg came up with.
I saw your co-counsel yesterday, Lanny Davis, talk about he characterized the House Intel Committee testimony yesterday that was behind closed doors. He went down in the bunker in the basement. Can you tell us what the passcode is down there?
I was there with it. It was interesting. It's funny.
He said it was very significant, that there are significant outcomes from that.
There may be. I it's hard to tell. I was there. I was there also Tuesday when he did the Senate Intel, which is, in both instances, you cannot bring a phone in. So people are without phones, and for Lanny, that's not easy to be without a phone.
It appears.
Yeah.
What did you think of all the beating up of Lanny Davis at the beginning of the public testimony Wednesday?
Prior to the hearing on Wednesday, Congressman Jordan, the ranking member, sent out a letter saying he was going to do that. He was going to attack, and trying to, I guess, scare my client from testifying, because he had all these allegations against him relating to his prior conviction, and also relating to Lanny Davis, and that
Lanny Davis is a friend of the Clintons. This is a Clinton thing.
Yes,
that's what they. That's for those who didn't catch this. Jim Jordan from Ohio, conservative. Right. He is the minority leader on this House committee, and he is ranking member. I guess
that's
they call
what they call it. Ranking member.
The ranking member of the committee. He said that Lanny Davis parading Michael Cohen into here at the behest of the Democrats on the committee. It's all because Hillary Clinton wants to get even for losing an election she shouldn't have lost, and Lanny Davis was with the Clintons, and this is clearly just payback.
That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what
I think a lot of people believe him.
Well, people who are behind the president might believe him, I suppose. Right. It makes no sense, but, you know, maybe they do.
He didn't seem to, Lanny Davis didn't seem to really be upset about it.
No, and he didn't play a real part in we thought that any time they spend attacking Lanny Davis, because each congressman only got 5 minutes,
right.
Any time they spend attacking Lanny Davis is positive time for the client, since they're not attacking the client. And they had no real effort to go after any of the evidence that the client produced, that our client produced on Wednesday. The checks, the background information about the president, you know, the fact that he used the foundation as a really a personal checking account.
Which you're not supposed to do.
No, it's a charitable
once.
Account.
Yeah.
It's for charity.
Mm-hmm.
And he's using it to put money in and take money out at his own decision-making, and that has nothing to do with charity. It was just as his own benefit.
Yeah.
So that's unfortunate.
Well, that's a nice way of putting it. Where does that go from here?
Well, I assume the state prosecutors in New York.
The state prosecutors or the federal prosecutors?
State prosecutors
state.
In New York are investigating some of these points. We know the Southern District, of course, the federal prosecutors are going after other matters. And I think Mueller is out of it now. I think it's just those two people.
So Mueller, you think is done with what he's doing?
I think Mueller's done with whatever my client has to do. Yes,
with you, with your side of this case.
Yes.
So Michael Monaco, I will ask you this: do you think that your client Michael Cohen hurt his credibility by leaving open the option of doing books and movies and stuff about this in the future, because Republicans were really on the committee were really going after him about that?
Yeah, that was sort of funny. I thought, I mean, no, you're not, you can't make any money about this. The fact that you had you're in this position in America in 2019, you should not be able to make money on it. I mean, I suppose they can argue.
That's everybody who walks away from the Trump administration writes a book. Have you seen that?
See,
I mean, it's like
he wouldn't be the only one.
Yeah, or Andrew McCabe too. I mean, I don't and I know the Republicans have been very critical about the people writing books and trying to profit off of this, but the reality of it is that everybody writes a book now, and because it's almost, there's so much traffic in this and interest in details here, whether it's defending the president or attacking the president.
Yeah,
people want, you know, they when they're walking by the Hudson News at the airport, that's all. The racks are just filled with them.
And as my client said, he's been contacted by TV producers and movie producers. You know, everybody wants him. I'm curious though. What do you think the average citizen thought of Mr. Cohen's testimony?
Kevin, you're the average citizen.
I am the average citizen. I guess some of the critics I've heard is why did he do it?
Why did he do it?
To clear his name? What was the main objective for your client?
Well, I suppose he was asked to testify, and they could have subpoenaed him, I suppose. The Senate did subpoena him. And he really feels that it's part of history, that it's important to tell the truth about the president. And that's what he's doing. He's telling the truth about the president.
He's unburdening himself, would you say?
I think so, in part. I mean, the other part is that hopefully that he will not be seen only as a criminal. He'll be seen as someone who stepped up in the face of immense pressure by the president of the United States. That the president called him a rat in writing to all of his 60 million, how many millions of Twitter followers he has. And the president called him a rat, which is not a good thing for someone who's about to go to jail. And so that was unfortunate. But the president is not, it seems like he's just not one of the worst presidents of all time, but he's just not a
nice man.
This is not a nice person.
He's not a nice man.
And how about this fellow Getz? What a horrible.
Okay, I want to ask you about that too. Now, Congressman Gatz is the Gatz. We were debating.
Gates.
This.
It was Gates, wasn't that clear? A couple of nights. Didn't we say Gates was the?
All right, Congressman Gates drops that Twitter bomb on Tuesday. Hey, listen up here, Michael Cohen. Does your wife know and father-in-law know about all your girlfriends? That's going to come out. Essentially, right. Is what he said. And then he had to take it down. He had to apologize.
And he apologized.
Right, yes. Because there was people started saying, hey, that's intimidating a witness.
Yeah.
Which may or may not be, but it's... But
of course it is. Why do you think he did it the day before the client was supposed to testify?
Hours before.
Your Honor, please.
Yeah.
This is on Twitter. Who could see it? Anyway, the point is the...
And then he apologized.
He apologized.
Yeah.
But then, after he did all that, after he took it down and apologized, he... walked through the hearing room.
He was there
when you guys were walking in, yeah. And he was like glad handing people. He's not on that committee. What did you make it? What did you and or your client, if you can speak on that,
He mentioned to the media not long before the testimonies that he wanted to speak. He wanted to ask questions, and the Republicans did not ask the chairman, Congressman Cummings, if. This fellow could speak because, as you say, he's not a member of the committee, so he would need permission to speak. And they didn't ask him for permission. We wondered if they were when he showed up, if they're going to ask him for permission to speak. But he never did. And then later that day, he sent an apology to Michael, apologizing for what he had said.
And nothing came up about that.
No, nothing. Of course, nothing. It's not true. It's not at all true. And he did it, obviously just to. Just to try to scare my client out of testifying. And apparently, I don't know if the president was part of it or not, but there was some other link apparently to the president.
It's like out of a movie, the whole thing.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's out of a good movie, though. I got to tell you that right now.
I'd watch that. Maybe a four-part series.
It's a pretty good movie. You know, it's like one of those Scorsese kind of deals. It's pretty good.
But I'm hopeful that the people who followed it. Would find that Michael Cohen did speak truthfully. I'm hopeful that.
Michael Monaco, legal analyst of this radio show for the last 20 years, and now Michael Cohen's attorney. No nexus between those two things.
Yeah. No longer Jussie's.
Smollett's former attorney.
Exactly.
That's very good news. But you're going back next week, right?
Yes, Tuesday.
What's
Wednesday's testifying.
Yeah, what's next?
Wednesday's testifying to the House Select Committee.
This is again in this Intelligence Committee. That's again behind closed doors.
Congressman Schiff's committee behind closed doors.
You're in the basement again.
We are. It is a very much guarded area. Yes.
Is it like those movies where everybody's like in a glass box?
There's no glass. There's no windows. No windows in the room.
So paint the picture of the room. What can you tell
us? The room is pretty...
I'm intrigued now.
It's a long room with the Republicans on one side, Democrats on the other, and in a long... two long tables. And we're at one corner of it, and Congressman Quigley's there from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And Raja's there.
Yeah. From Christian Murthy.
Murthy from the North. He was in both committees, actually.
Right, he was.
He was in the both committees. He asked some good questions.
He's getting a lot of FaceTime on this.
Yeah, I thought he asked, and he was a very nice man. I thought he asked some good questions.
We did notice, I mean, it did not miss our observation that when Ocasio-Cortez.
Sort of sing it out
whenever
loud.
Whenever she did anything, the media went nuts.
They followed her every
step she took.
When the chairman said, Ms. Ocasio-Cortez from New York, we did notice that you sat up in your chair. We did notice that you woke back up,
obvious?
And then you looked over and is she there?
My son Brian was there. He was there. He came in. He flew in for it. And
how you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was there too. Everybody was very interested.
It was very interesting.
Very interesting.
I have no idea what she asked.
Yeah,
but
I know. She had some good questions. She asked about who else knew
finance, right?
She asked about who else knew. Pointing the pictures so that other people may be subpoenaed. who else knew about these things? And that was a good question.
Mark Meadows always seems to be yelling. Is he like that outside of the actual hearing? I mean, it doesn't seem like he talks to anyone. It's just, let's yell at everyone. I'm angry.
Yes, I know. He brought this woman in who apparently Mr. Cohen had helped get a job in the Trump organization, then helped her get a job in the White House. And she was accused of being a pawn, you know, by...
Yeah, it's a puppet.
A puppet, yes. By other folks. And as one thing my client did ask her, as he said to Congressman Meadows, ask her how many black executives there are in the Trump organization. And the answer is none. I mean, so that's... Listen, many of the things my client talked about are things that everybody knows. Everybody knew that. Everybody knew that for years, you know, from when he was when he attacked the president as being
actually,
a birther and everything else.
It's interesting. There's a woman who used to work on and off as the chief financial officer, I think, at one point, or chief operating officer of the Trump organization. She's been on TV a lot recently. An older lady who's, you know, she's real plain spoken, like New York kind of tough herself. And she was like, "Listen, you know, it was different in the '80s. People told jokes like that. People were always telling jokes. They didn't necessarily use the N-word, but it was a different thing. Everybody made fun of blacks and Jews." And then I'm like, oh my God, she's making it worse.
that's not helping.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So, but Mark Meadows, he did bring her in. I thought it would have been good if she took the sunglasses off the top of her head because she looked like she was just walking in from lunch. You know,
that's the way it seemed.
Right. It looked
they just
like they
found someone walking through the hall.
The hall.
This is the profile we're looking for.
Come on, come out of here. Yeah, you just stand there and don't say anything.
Yeah.
So Meadows then started crying in the middle of the. He got all emotional.
He got emotional when the congresswoman
from
Michigan. Accused him of bringing this woman in as a, and it's really, really interesting. If you look at one,
she called Mark Meadows a racist, and he didn't like that. And it turns out that Mark, and then all of a sudden we found out there was a buddy pic in the middle of all of
this
buddy picture. It turns out that the chairman
Cummings, who's African American, is very close friends with Meadows, apparently.
Right. And they apparently they sup together and do things like that.
Apparently, but if you look at the interesting
wait till Meadows people find out about that. Wait till his constituents find out about that.
I know from North Carolina because then a lot of other things came out where he was very sort of not racist, but sort of anti Obama and anti during when he was running for office.
Yes, we have that. Let's just play that because it reminds people.
We're going to send Mr. Obama home to Kenya or wherever it is. We're going to do it.
Mark Meadows. Yeah, I'm not a racist.
No, I'm not a racist.
Send him back to Kenya.
Just the vision of it. We're in a huge room, and on one side of the Republicans, just two white women, no African Americans at all, all mostly white men. On the other side, you have all these folks who are Democrats, and there's a lot of young women.
Can I try your scarf on? That's my last
question.
Okay, beautiful.
Can you get a picture? Put it on the social media.
Yeah,
I wanted to get your scarf at Twitter page. I thought
really?
That would be a fun thing to have.
That'd
Mike
be nice.
Monaco's scarf. Michael Monaco. You know, I always say famed attorney.
Yeah.
And now world famous attorney.
The legend is growing.
Kim Jong Un's calling. Wants to know if you'll represent him.
Where did he get the scarf?
I love the guy. He had a nice scarf. Putin is calling. I want the guy with scarf to come. I will trade scarf for baby giraffe.
Opulence.
Thank you, Michael Monaco.
Take care.
Thank you. Nice to see you. All right, let's check in now. Let's find out from Eric Rung what's coming up in the news.
A guilty verdict for a man who shot a Chicago cop several years ago. That story and more coming up at 4 o'clock from the WGN Newsroom.